He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday 11/7/25 edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. I thought 11 and 7 were kind of lucky numbers, you know, Barry, 7-11, but does not look like it today. We've got another down day. Man, I'll tell you what, the Fed, I think, last Thursday, Wednesday, did a number on the market, and the market has never really regained its footing, and especially in the AI and the higher end of the market. We've got another down day going on, and it's getting worse since the open. Right now, the Dow is down 203 points at 46,709. The S&P 500 is down 88 basis points to 66.61, but the NASDAQ is now down 353 points, down 1.5%. It's at 22,702. Small caps are down 90 basis points right now. And we have the 10 years actually up a little bit. You'd think you'd see a little bit of a flight to safety. It's at 4.10. And that has not helped the markets, those comments by the Fed last Wednesday. And, of course, you had an expensive market to begin with. Gold is up, however, 0.25%. Crude oil is up 81 basis points. And, man, I'll tell you what, Bitcoin is trying to hold on to 100,000. It's down 1,500 to 100,552. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only investment advisory firm and financial planning firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite. Barry, is it fair to say that I've been warning for quite some time now, you know, I'm maybe a couple of months, on how high the PE, forward PE especially at 23, on the S&P 500 has become. And in fact, in last Friday's newsletter, I even went through the setup in the year 2000 and what ensued after that. The last time the multiples on the market got this high. And I thought that was an appropriate time, you know, for a little bit of a history lesson, because I was there in managing money at that point in time. And somehow, you know, investors think that multiples and valuations don't seem to matter. We're in a new paradigm. That was the story back in 2000. We were in the dot-com paradigm. And this time, it's the AI, artificial intelligence paradigm, which, you know, in investors' eyes is going to change the world as we know it. And profits will start rolling in, not that they already are not, but the unseen profits before AI came along will start to roll in. You still have to look at earnings. You know, it comes down to the value of any business is based on its earnings and its EBITDA and its cash flow that it generates and a multiple on that, on those earnings. And, you know, I mean, mathematics tell you you can't pay 100 times earnings for a company. It takes you 100 years to get your investment back, unless it's growing at 30 or 40% a year, which there's not a whole lot of those. But the overall market right now, the S&P 500, is trading at 23 times forward earnings. Okay, now, we're in a falling interest rate environment, which does help, okay. But then, of course, you had the Fed last Wednesday chime in and say, we don't know about another rate cut here this year. That may be it for the year. And I would say that definitely shifted the sentiment on the market. And, you know, besides valuations on the market, obviously, you also have the sentiment side of the market, which creates momentum or kills momentum. And there was definitely a momentum shift after that day. And you've seen the multiples of the market contract. when the Fed said that. And you've also seen the sentiment on the market change. And then, of course, you've had Michael Burry's big news, which I'm going to go into that a little bit more. He may not even still have that position. Do you realize that, Barry?
Oh, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, when you're one of the shorts, you know, you kind of a lot of times don't want people to know what your position is because you kind of want to run under the radar. So, yeah,
well,
it's completely true that he may have had that position, you know, a month and a half ago.
Yeah, because those 13Fs, we file a 13F every quarter, which shows our biggest holdings if you're an institutional money manager. And that was as of that date, okay, when you filed the 13F. And you don't know what's happened since then. And sometimes the 13F doesn't really become public. Someone was reading through Burry's 13F and saw that position. And, of course, it kind of went viral. And we don't know if he's still in that position or not. So, anyways, it shouldn't have really had any impact on the market. I think that you have two things. Valuation, number one. And number two, the interest rate environment, which impacts the multiple. And we've taken a hit. We haven't taken a hit on the earnings side. It's that multiple side. And then the third part of that is the sentiment and the mood. I guess you could also describe that as the mood. I think there was also, as we've gotten down into this third tier of earnings reports this past week, I thought there were quite a few disasters in the market. I don't think it's going to affect the overall earnings picture because most of these were minor players that had disasters. But there was a fair amount of them that shook up those nether reaches of the market, the tributaries that normally are not filled with water that have been filled with water lately. They're starting to drain pretty quickly, Barry. I don't know if you've noticed it, but when I look at 1,000 charts a day, I certainly see it.
Well, in this week, what was interesting to me on the earnings front was the fact that you had, you know, it just seemed as if the market was, you know, hey, not good enough. You know, thanks. You know, I don't know. There was a few names that really came in with what I thought was strong earnings report, but unfortunately, in terms of the market was, you know, it's like, hey, you need to do better.
Yeah, and what's going to go first? I mean, when the mood on the market shifts, and really, I mean, it's fear at one end of the meter, and it's greed at the other end of the meter. And at any given time, it's just like your gas gauge on your car. Where is the needle? Or you could say the temperature gauge on your car, which we used to have. Cars used to heat up all the time. I guess we have better technology nowadays. It doesn't seem like my radiator's boiling over these days. Like I remember when we were growing up, my dad, the radiator in our car would boil over. We'd pull over to the side of the road, you know, blown head gasket and all this kind of thing. But there's that temperature gauge of the market, which is somewhere on the fear greed gauge. Now, we've been pegged on the greed gauge, and when the greed gauge is pegged, you're seeing money pouring into Bitcoin, into Ether, into crypto stocks, into small nuclear stocks, into rare earth stocks, into gene editing stocks. And when a little bit of fear starts to come back, that's where the hot money is. And that's where the money comes running and fleeing out of the theater through that little door in the theater trying to get out. The exit can be very narrow in some of those thinly traded hot areas of the market. For me, the number one area that goes first is ARK funds. She's the perfect gauge of that portion of the market that is way out there on a limb that I don't want to be on, to be frank with you. But, you know, from time to time, we'll have a few of those stocks scattered into our portfolios. She's 90% in those stocks. I got to believe that ARK is just going to get blown up once again, like it always does. I've been watching what she's been buying and selling. She lowered her target price on Bitcoin to 1.5 million today, Barry. from 2 million. And, of course, it's at 100,000. I mean, that she even gets time on TV is beyond me, but they had her on Squawk Box yesterday, I guess, and I saw some excerpts from her, you know, from what she was telling the folks that listened to CNBC. God help them. She lowered her forecast for Bitcoin down to $1.5 million, okay? Bitcoin is barely hanging on to 100,000 here, and we're finding out that it is not, it does not behave like gold does when a little bit of fear comes into the market. Okay, well, we got a lot to talk about here today. We're at 30% cash now as a firm. And we've definitely trimmed a lot off the edges and given a haircut to anything that maybe is halfway out on the limb here recently. And we've booked some very big profits here. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. The Gunderson market gauge goes something like this, Barry. At the far right end, you have animal spirits, right? Full-on greed, sugar high, money just flying around like we had in 2021 and really like we've had here in the last several months. And ARK Funds is hitting a new all-time high, and she's starting to come up on Squawk Box, and they're interviewing her again, right? There's the far extreme of that gauge, that temperature gauge. And then all of a sudden, something will happen, okay? Whether it's in the economy, the jobs, the Fed has probably the biggest impact. You go back to 2021, it was the Fed starting to signal that they were going to go on the warpath of hiking interest rates. And that all of a sudden is a nervous market. Okay, it goes from this kind of, wow, nothing can go wrong. This is going to go, there's no stopping this market. We're going to build ballrooms on the White House. We're going to celebrate the night away, which is all kind of reminiscent of 1929 in a little way. Jeff is reading a book called 1929. I need to read that. I really do.
1929.
I was there in 2000. Okay,
I think my dad's going to read it too. So yeah, and I'm pretty sure. I think Jeff's either. I think he's finished with.
Yeah, we'll have to have him come on I'll have him on next week to give a quick book review of that. But anyway, I mean, we're not there yet, but there's a lot of it out there right now. Okay, then all of a sudden, there's some kind of a wake up call that happens that gets people to think. And you know, I've sent out several wake up calls over the last couple of months here in the market. And I think really my last week's headline said it all. The Fed ends. Let's see, what was my headline? The Fed kills the rally, which it did. Okay, and all of a sudden there's a wake up call. All right, then there's nervousness, and that can be brought on by a few companies missing earnings or some bad jobs reports. Or Michael Burry shorting the market, and all of a sudden some big losers in the market, and the market begins to get nervous. And I don't care if you're talking about the markets, an individual stock, a commodity like gold, a cryptocurrency, they all go through the same cycle. Then you go to very nervous. Then you go to very, very nervous. Then you go to fear. Then you go, finally, to panic, all right? And that's when people are fleeing the theater. Somebody has yelled fire, and everybody is running for the exit at the same time. So, and then it repeats itself, right? It goes all over again. Finally,
it's a cycle.
You could do the opposite. The panic goes to, finally, maybe it starts to stabilize, and a little bit of optimism and sunlight starts to come back into the market, and the greed starts to build again, which, you know, it's a natural cycle that we go through. And then greed goes from FMO, fear of missing out. And a lot of times that's kind of at the end of that greed cycle. And then all of a sudden you're at that pegged cycle over there at the far right end of the temperature gauge where ARK Funds is hitting new all-time highs. She's on TV along with other people. The creeks and tributaries way out there in the small nukes and the rare earths and all of that, all of a sudden they're breaking out, they're hitting new highs, and they're buying them like there's no tomorrow. And then repeat once again, the whole cycle all over again. So where are we right now? Nervous. The market is nervous right now, and it should be. I mean, the valuations are extremely high. Now, the best way to observe this in a graphical point of view, and I think the best investment ARK Funds could make would be a good technician on each one of the stocks that she owns and say, Kathy, you know, I mean, you've done pretty well here. The animal spirits have been in this stock. They're probably not going to have any earnings for several years. And now that the fear is here, these are the kind of stocks people are getting out of, and they're getting out of them very, very quickly. A good technician would be the best investment she could make at ARK Funds, because she's a heck of a good salesperson. I mean, the money flows into those ARK Funds during the heady times in the market. But, man, when it drains, it can really drain quickly. Okay, China. China is slowing down. Their trade surplus, you know, it's thinning out. They don't have the huge trade surplus. Their exports are going down, one of the impacts of the tariffs. And by the way, I think don't you think the market's a little nervous over that decision that is hanging out there? I wouldn't be surprised to see that decision come out today from the Supreme Court. On the whole tariff thing, okay?
I mean, do we have a time frame in terms of how long they think it, you know, will take them to deliberate? I mean,
I don't think so. You know, it's just kind of we're at the mercy of the Supreme Court. I know they like to do things on Friday.
They do.
So they can go to the movies on Saturday and, you know, and everything and have fun and get that out of their mind. But this is a tough one, and it has major ramifications. I'm sure they're not taking it casually.
Well, I mean, you know, to me, it's one of the, because I've been kind of thinking back and forth on this, and, you know, to me, it is, you know, if you don't allow it, it does take, you know, it does kind of take a negotiating tool, right, out of, you know, say the executive branch's hand, right, in terms of, you know, being able to levy tariffs, right? I mean, one of the big deals, and he's mentioned a lot of these reasons that you've had, you know, some ceasefires or wars end, or, you know, made
yes,
progress on other things besides just trade, but tariffs were a good one.
Yeah,
that'll
get people moving and get them off the dime, right?
Yeah, so that's where, you know, that's where I'm kind of, you know, I don't know, where I'm, you know, what I'm thinking in terms of, you know, in terms of an executive branch, you know, and not just the Trump administration, just, you know, could be any.
I think
going forward,
the tariffs
right?
are a pretty good weapon, to be honest with you. It's a heck of a lot better than bombing and sending in ground troops and things like that. So,
and it's gotten, like you said, I mean, it's gotten movement. It's gotten reaction. I mean,
absolutely.
It's gotten people, you know, otherwise you just, you know, talk the same issue to death forever and nothing ever gets done.
No.
At least in this sense, you had to
get some off the dime.
Yeah, you got
it. It's movement. Okay, there's been a lot made about Elon Musk's $1 trillion pay package, but you know what? He's got to meet some really difficult goals. He's
got to get a good note on. Yeah, Jeff sent us a good note on this.
He's got to get the company up to $8.5 trillion. It's you know, down at $1.5 trillion today. In the meantime, American Bitcoin, backed by Trump's sons, adds 139 Bitcoin, lifting the strategic reserve to 4,004 bitcoins. They've been buying this whole way. I don't know how they're doing with their their Bitcoin buys Trump's sons. But, you know, I don't know. I'm just not a fan of this whole Bitcoin. But Kathy Wood says it's going to 1.5 million, so I guess I shouldn't worry. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. There's another concept, Barry, that I want to, it's like, okay, think of the rings around Saturn, right? Okay, out on that outer edge, that furthest out ring is the speculative stocks. And this is where the modular nuclear reactors, the rare earth, the gene editing, the AI wannabes, mining, okay, that is that outer ring of the ring of Saturn there. That's very dangerous area, and when the market really spreads out to that ring, and that ring is like really on fire and hitting new highs, which it was maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, okay, and you have to ask yourself as an investor, I've seen people that have all their money out in that outer ring, okay? They're just gamblers at heart, I guess, or they don't understand the risk they're in. And of course, interest rates impact that outer ring of the market more than any other ring. And nervous, when the market starts to get nervous, that's the first one to go. Okay, then if the sell-off begins to pick up a little bit of steam, then you're going to get into the really high growth stocks, okay? You're going to start getting into the Palantirs and the Nvidias. They're not immune from fear, and, you know, they get expensive, too, on a PE, forward PE ratio basis. And they're out there. I mean, they're the... A lot of the best stocks in the market are out there in that ring, but eventually it starts to, the fear starts to hit them. And you also have to remember that's where a lot of the big gains are. Okay, there's some huge gains sitting there. I've unloaded some and taken some huge gains. I unloaded one yesterday, a large position that had 100% gain since March. April, and I said, you know what? I just don't think it's going to get any better than this. When you make 100% in 4 months, I'm just going to cash in here, all right? And then it starts to get inside of that, and it starts to get into the big blue chip stocks, you know, the so-called large cap, not so much the dividend payers, the Johnson & Johnsons, the Procter & Gambles. And you could say, well, they're safer. It takes a long time for the sell-off to hit them. Yeah, but they never got to, they never were hitting new highs, and they never were making the big gains that the other guys. That's the trade-off there.
They never participated to begin with.
They never participated to begin with. So if you want to park your money there, you're basically giving up opportunity cost on the upside. For a little bit of safety when things start to sell off. So you never had 40, you never had 100% gains in those stocks. Then it starts to get into the bond market, which, you know, is very interest rate sensitive. This goes back to 2021, where the bonds. And then you've got kind of in there with the bonds, gold, okay, as a hedge. And then finally, it's cash. Those are the rings. I should make some kind of graphic on this. And you'd have to ask yourself, where are you?
Where are we?
If you never venture out into that growth area, you're never going to have big gains to begin with, right? But if you're out in that speculative area of the market and you've got big gains, you better know when that tide turns, and you better be able to recognize that. That's where I see a big that's where I see Kathy Wood's main problem. Is she'll ride that stuff down 60, 70, 80%. I see a stock here that we sold a long time ago for a 9% loss. I pulled the plug actually a month ago. It's down 40% today, okay? You don't want, you want to be able to recognize stuff like
that.
Which
one is that one? Down 40%?
Power Solutions, PSIX, okay? That was in our Ultra Growth portfolio.
Yeah.
And even if you're in the growth stocks, okay, you, I draw a line in the sand, even as a stock is ascending, and I'm raising that line in the sand, okay? And I know, look, in a perfect world, it would be buy and hold. I just watched my neighbor go by in his boat. He's waving to me. He's going fishing today. It's a gorgeous day. The water's like grease. He's flying his American flag. The way the wind is blowing the flag, he's got his guide. He goes out with the guide. He's smart. He takes a guide with him so he doesn't waste his time. In a, he waves to me, hi, you sucker, you Gunderson.
Is that the one that goes with the guide once a week or
once
a month
Yeah. He invited me on last Saturday, and I couldn't go. I was writing the newsletter. But he waves to me, you sucker, you're working today doing that. Ah, well, okay. He's going fishing. That's okay, pal. He's a good neighbor. But anyways, you know, it'd be nice to have a buy and hold portfolio where I could go fishing every day, but I just don't think you can be passive like that if you're investing and trying to get growth out of your portfolio, okay? Because that growth can drain out and those gains can drain out, which brings up the other age old question: is should I take a short term gain on 100% profit? Meaning that you'll net somewhere in the 75% profit after you pay your taxes. Or should I watch that gain erode and disappear and not pay those taxes? I've seen that happen so many times, and people reluctant to take a profit, book that profit, you know, and know that you're going to have to pay your short-term capital gains, which are taxed at the rate of, you know, whatever you pay in income tax. So therein lies all of these decisions that have to be made on a daily basis. And then, of course, you could just throw in the towel and say, I'm 70 years old, I want 70% in the bond market, and I want 30% in big blue-chip stocks. And you can average 4 or 5% a year. Just say, you know, I'm done, I've had it, I don't want to be out on those nether ends of the market. So that's decisions that investors have to make on a daily basis. Okay, we got some disasters here today. Here's a gene editing stock. Somebody died. And I know Kathy Woods owns 12% of this stock. Intellia plunges, NTLA, with a patient death in their gene editing trial. So obviously, gene editing stocks are as far out on the spectrum. Now, Barry, there is a
much further.
No, there is. I was just going to go there. Oh, all right. Okay. Private equity and private debt. That's even further out. At least you have liquidity in the speculative area. At least I can go online here and sell my Intel NT if I owned it. There's liquidity, but in the private debt and the private equity, you don't have liquidity. You're stuck unless you want to sell it for pennies on the dollar. And, of course, the market has gotten so hot. It's gone out into that outer. I get an email every day, one or two emails of some new
we've been sending them back
fund.
And forth
yes.
between each other lately.
That tells me that I should be putting my clients into private debt. And private that is even further out than a gene editing test tube stock, I'm telling you. Okay, let's see what else we got here. The bond market, I saw Canadian National Railway. Barry, 4.2%. That's what you're getting on a big railroad, 4.2%. That's the state of the bond market. Okay, yeah. We have some earnings in here today. Constellation Energy, which right now is subject to the nervousness in the market. Despite, you know, having all these big contracts to sell their nuclear energy from Three Mile Island and starting up that reactor again, it's gone through a bit of a correction here. It's down about 15% or so from the high, I would say. Yeah, about 15%. They reported earnings today. They're the ones that made the big deal with Microsoft, who bought like 20 years worth of energy for them. That's not on the outer ring, obviously. That's probably not even in the growth ring. I would say that's more in that blue chip area. It's a utility, for heaven's sakes. And they've got contracts for years. But as you can see, the market is even starting to dip into that area of the market and erode it a little bit, okay? And I'm willing to give stocks in that area of the market a lot more latitude. And, of course, they're not going to tank like your speculative stocks are going to tank. But the stock is down 4.2% today. And I would say it's more about the nervousness of the market than anything relating to the stock. And then on the other side, I saw some good stories on rare earth today. China did not say carte blanche, we're opening up our rare earth, come and get it, boys. No, they're going to loosen up the licensing and the restrictions a little bit. But it's still going to be tough, and I see MP Materials had a solid report today. That's the one rare earth stock. No, we own two. But this is the one I think that's the best of them all. It's up 5.7% today after they reported earnings. They have earnings. There is rare earth in Mountain Pass, California, Nevada. We'll be
this
right back.
You got to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, another, as far as the charting goes, which, you know, there's no one discipline, okay? Valuation is a discipline. Past performance is a discipline, looking at the past performance of the stock. And then, of course, for me, I don't know how you could buy or own a stock without checking in on how it's doing every once in a while. And nowhere does that show up better than in the chart. And it's really pretty basic, to be honest with you. I put a little graph in the newsletter. It's in there every single week. It's the 1, 2, 3, 4. 1 being a sideways trend, 2 being an uptrend, 3 being a topping out trend. Which could go either way. It could break out onto new highs. But if it rolls over, then it's a number 4 downtrend. And you need to know at all points in time, you know, where your kids are at, where your stocks are at in that process, and where the market is at in that process, even more importantly. And, you know, I mean, it's saved my rear end a few times here over the last couple of several weeks as we've had a little bit of a breakdown in that outer edge of the market. And, Barry, I was able to take some preemptive action when I saw I'm going to start keeping a journal of charts and why I did what I did and publish it someday. And say, here's what this chart looked like on this day, and that's why I sold it. And this is what happened after I sold it, right? Because I consider a lot of charts to be like a kiss of death or a very high potential kiss of death. And when I see it, it's like I don't ask any questions. I get out of it quickly. I get out of the way.
Well, and it's a graphic nature of supply and demand. You know, and so that's what's so important. So that's what's so important about it. Doesn't always use the example of, you know, you and I could get in a room and, you know, from a fundamental analysis standpoint, have a stock that's $50. You know, we could think our analysis, we think it's worth $100. We could be, you know, the smartest people in the world and definitely correct. But if no one outside of that room thinks it should be worth $100, it's never going to become.
That's the problem. A 12-man committee can sit in a room all day long with the grease board, and everybody can get up and speak their piece on why or not they should hang on to a stock or why or not they should buy one. But, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter. Those 12 guys don't have a club. I think it was Warren Buffett that said, we don't have a club to beat the stock back into submission. The market will determine where it's at. Now, I'm just going to give you a couple examples here today. Speaking of Cathie Woods, ARK Funds has got a kiss of death on it right now. Chart. I cut and pasted that chart into my new journal that I'm keeping on charts. It's got a kiss of death. It's rolling over. It topped out at $92 per share. It tried to get back up to it a couple times. It has descending tops. That's not good. Your second attempt at a top is lower than the first attempt. It failed at making a new top. So now if you connect the tops, it's sloping downwards. That's called descending tops. There's only about five or six patterns that you have to learn, really. That's my looking at many charts a day. There's about five or six that are critical. Now, then I draw a support line. Well, okay, last time it got down to here, to 80, it held. And it held again at 80. Well, today it's not holding 80. It's dropping below 80 to 78. That's a kiss of death. Now, if you look at the opposite of ARK, which is SARK, time to get into the lifeboat. Make some money in the lifeboat. What's breaking out today? It's the inverse mirror image of ARK, and that's SARK. SARK has come down and hit 27 a couple of times, and it's held 27. Then it's tried to rally, and it hits 29, and it can't get through 30. Let's call it 30. It hits 30, and it can't get through 30. That's the ceiling. Well, guess what? Today, it's breaking through that 30 through resistance, and it's hitting 31. That's a picture-perfect, high-probability follow-through type of a chart that I like. So, I mean, you're increasing your probability. Buying one that is rolling over and beginning a new number for downtrend is the worst place you can buy a stock. That is a kiss of death sell signal in my book. And when you turn that upside down and you look at SARK, you don't want to buy that thing. It's been in a downtrend since April the 8th. That's when I wrote my article. That was the bottom of the NASDAQ, and it's been in a downtrend. But it's been leveling off and leveling off. It's been in a number one sideways trend, which you can't make any money in. We call that it's building a base, a firm foundation at about $28 per share. Then all of a sudden, that firm foundation, the buying starts to come in. The sellers are gone. They've been exhausted. And now the buying's coming in, and it's pushing it through that resistance level. And to me, that's one of the most high probability areas for a stock to begin a new uptrend. It's just beginning. Now, it may not follow through on that new uptrend, but that, to me, is the opposite of a kiss of death. That's a kiss of opportunity right there. Look for that at a future date, a book on just the basic chart patterns from real life that I acted upon over the years. Okay, well, we're out of time. I mean, if ever there was a better time to be getting live trading alerts and the newsletter from us, this is it, as we enter into a nervous market and a very expensive market. That's not a good combination. If the market's getting nervous and you've got high P.E. ratios, that means that the risk level is running high at this level. And then again, we may go have a quick correction, and these things may set up for another buying opportunity. You just have to take it a day at a time, but you just can't be passive, I guess. While my neighbor's fishing, I'm fishing too. I'm here in the market, under the water, with my goggles on, my snorkel, observing. I have an advantage over him because I can see what's underneath the market. He can only see what's on top of the market, even with his fishing guide, Barry. If you'd like to get four-week trial to what we have to offer, 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us and know that your portfolio is being watched on a daily basis, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day. Have a great weekend.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.